The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Another Wednesday night, closing out this year here at the Lotus Place. It is December the 30th, the day before New Year's Eve, which is one of my favorite times of the year, and going into the new year. Happy winter solstice and all that. Namaste, Asha, Mother Zola, how are you? I know you enjoy the New Year's.
The turning of the new year. Namaste. I'm fantastic. How are you, Black Rose?
I'm great. I'm well. I'm very well.
Yes, I enjoy the new year.
Yeah, and I think that City Center here in Houston is having a big celebration. It's free. Parking will probably be atrocious, but fireworks will start. And for those of us that live on this side of town, near I-10, that's like the better choice for us, unless you want to fight that traffic going downtown, which I rarely choose to get out and drive during New Year's, because I do have my little cocktails and I try not to drink and drive, so I don't want to promote any of that. But
there you go.
A lot going on in Houston. Yeah, a lot of parties. I have a New Year's Day party to attend, and so just all kinds of things. And if you have something going on you want to let us know about, maybe you want to send us a plane ticket, Lowe's place to come and broadcast at your New Year's Eve party. Yes, we certainly can do that and hype it up. Mm-hmm. I hype it up like
right.
MCs in Brooklyn, baby. BK all day.
Nothing but fun.
Absolutely. So, since you want to call in and share your game changer for 2016, what are you changing in your life that's going to be a major game changer for your life, and how that impacts you and maybe even the community? Or maybe it may lead to something that could impact the community. But what's your game changer? It's okay to just focus on you, because I just focus on me a lot. So
yes, you do.
Quite often. Oh, yes. I'm number one, baby. So what's your game changer? Share that with us. And also, we have a hot new breaking news topic. Bill Cosby had to do the perp walk today. I just cannot believe they made Bill Cosby.
I can't either. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not downplaying any rape.
How anything. Humiliating.
Yeah, but it's my thing, and it is. And I was just listening to some of the testimony of the women, and I never really paid much attention to it, because my whole thing was, first of all, when you said that he gave you something in your drink or whatever and all of this stuff. I mean, that's Hollywood. People were always popping pills, snorting stuff, drinking stuff, eating
every
stuff,
day, all day. I mean, Hollywood.
Yeah, it's Hollywood. So
when you sign up.
Yeah.
You're
in the room with somebody like Bill Cosby or whoever. But anyway, my point is this. Bill Cosby was not the only person that was distributing Spanish fly and whatever other illicit drugs. Now, all those little wild sex parties they were having at Hugh Hefner's house, So there has been someone that was peddling the drugs and all of that. So, I mean, you just have an entire ring. You had to have someone that was organizing the women to be there. Sounds like it was him and whoever else. You know, so why are you just trying to pick on one person that was giving someone drugs? Because we know that he wasn't the only person. So I'm not trying to come and be the Bill Cosby's defense attorney or anything, because I think he has a team. Unless he wants to pay me. But, I mean, I'm just not trying to defend him like that. But I'm just saying, don't try to come after him like that, like he was the only person giving women Spanish fly and whatever other kind of drugs. Many of those people were doing that. There were people that we knew that were doing that, giving people Spanish fly and little drugs or whatever, you know. So people are always, and not even just to have sex with you, sometimes they were just being malicious and dropping things in your drink. That's why we always grew up to know. You watch your drink. Even if someone brings you a so-called fresh drink, watch the bartender. The bartender could be in cahoots with this guy you think you just met that just walked up to you, you know, and want to buy you a drink. Watch the bartender, because while he's easing up in your ear, his friend, the bartender, could be slipping something in your drink. So, you know, you just pay attention to things like that. And then this one woman said that Bill Cosby urged her to take some pills. You can't urge me to do anything.
You got to want to. You
can't urge me to smoke crack. Come on. Just hit the pipe. Just hit it one time. You got to love it. Hell to the no.
No.
You hit the goddamn pipe. Because that's what you want to do, but I'm not hitting it. You know, so that just doesn't make any sense to me. That just doesn't pan out. And, you know, I'm not saying that he probably didn't give these women something. I mean, I think he said he did. I was listening to this Larry King interview, another point. Listening to this Larry King interview when they're talking about how much of the Spanish fly you would put in a woman's Coca-Cola and all of this stuff. And Larry King is like, a pen. Yeah. Okay, so is anybody coming after him for rape too? I don't think so. I didn't see him make that perp walk right behind Bill or in front of Bill Cosby. Mm-mm. So Larry King, and then please, what about that what's that little crazy looking Woody what's his name? Raping his little stepchildren and all of that, and then married one of them.
Woody Allen.
Absolutely. So all of this stuff is not new. These people do this stuff in Hollywood, always have, not just in Hollywood, out here on the streets too. So, I mean, you got a lot of people. Go and arrest some of these Catholic priests that's been molesting these boys.
Oh, my goodness. Make them do the perp walk.
Bill Cosby, but, I mean, you know, if his wife is not bothered, if he rapes somebody, okay. But listen, I'm talking about the circumstances. The whole culture of Hollywood.
The whole culture.
You thought you got a part because you were good, because you can act. No, you had.
You know my friend. You know my friend Mildred. Her nephew went to. He was very talented. He could play the piano and he could sing, and he was nice looking. He was young, about 19 or 20, and he wanted to go to Hollywood. He wanted to be a star, and. Right. The family pretty much knew that he was, you know, gay. He just wasn't openly, you know, but they pretty much, you know, kind of figured it out. And he told her after he had gotten there, had a conversation with her and told her that his agent had asked him, would he be interested in sleeping with some men, because that's the first thing they're going to want to know. That's straight from his mouth. That's the first thing they want, because he said you'll get a little bit further if you're willing to do this. I'm just putting it out to you. I'm just putting it out.
Absolutely.
It's the rule of the world. It's just Hollywood.
But and you know what? You just said it. Really, it's the rule of the world, because it goes for the corporate world as well.
Oh yeah.
Military. Yep. Look how many of those women are raped in the military.
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's not even just restricted to per se Hollywood. Yep. So yeah, so that's a hot topic there. But also there were, I thought about it, and last week, last Monday, the decision was made that there was no indictment to be made in the case of Sandra Bland here in Texas, but she was stopped by a police officer and later found, 3 days later, found dead in her jail cell. So the judge decided that no one would be indicted in that case. And then the following Monday, just this past Monday, another judge in the Tamir Rice case decided that there would be no indictment. So do Black lives really matter?
Right. Exactly.
Why is there such a difference? Those two, and I think we mentioned this, sorry about the noise, guys. Those two police officers that shot that little white boy in Louisiana, they were quickly arrested.
Quickness. Yes. Ask no questions.
It's taken these people a year, in the case of Tamir Rice, a year to bring this case to trial. Laquan McDaniel, a year to bring this case. I mean, they have the video, all of this. So this is a sinister system.
It is.
It's just unbelievable sometimes how blatant they can be. It's not surprising of their actions. It's just how blatant they've become over the years, I guess it seems. I guess, you know, it's just, we're bombarded with this so much now since there's a 24-hour news cycle and social media. So it's amazing. But
it's like we've gone back a few decades.
You know, there was a meme going around that spoke about that. What happened? There was some event. Oh, I think when it was either right after Eric Garner was choked to death or maybe Mike Brown. Oh, it was when Mike Brown, the decision on Bob McCullough, another prosecutor that simply threw the case, or not even threw the case, just really fought for the system, the police officers. There was a meme going around stating, don't forget to turn your clocks back 300 years.
Yes.
And let me just share this other little tidbit trending Twitter that I did see on yesterday. And then, Mother Zola, would you like to share your mind, body, and soul piece with us before we go to break?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She will.
All right. So there's this call for LeBron James, who is the star player of Cleveland, to return to, to make a stand, take a stand on what's going on with the Tamir Rice case in Cleveland, because Tamir Rice was a big fan of LeBron James. So his family is asking that he organizes a sit out of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So call in. Tell us, what do you think? Do you think LeBron should and will he? Call us at 641-715-3660. And the code is 549032. Press star 61 if you would like to offer a comment. So, talking about the sinister system, no indictments in the cases of the killings of Tamir Rice, what happened to Sandra Bland, cases in Chicago, Betty Jones, and Quintonio LeGreer. We're going to answer Delta's letters tonight also. And Delta says she's open to answer. Yes, she's open to answer questions about money, career questions, real estate, because Delta Cougar is a real estate investor. So she can give you some answers on real estate. And guess what, Mother Zola? We're actually going to incorporate a new segment with a blog where people can follow this program that Delta's going to have with me, along with my new raw food diet transition program. I'll be on raw food, well, vegetarian/raw food program. And Delta's going to offer advice on how to invest in real estate.
How wonderful.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, because I believe it was Malcolm that said that the basis of all revolution is land. So we have to acquire some land. Yes, acquire some land. Land. Free the land. Yes, and then
yes,
Mother Zola, you are going to share with us on the Superwoman syndrome. I had that for a minute. Mm-hmm. I suffer from that for a minute.
Yes, I think we all have at one point.
Yeah. Especially as Black women. And I think really mothers do. Now, I can be a little more selfish because I don't have any birth children. But, yeah. So, anyway, you want to give us your reading?
Yes. I thought this was an appropriate reading for about this time of the year because we're talking about game changing. So, this sort of goes in sync with changing your game for 2016. This is an oldie, but it's a good one to think about. The title of this is There is a Hole in My Sidewalk. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. Ugh. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend that I don't see it. I fall in again. Damn. I can't believe it. I'm here in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. Help me. But my eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. You're not going to get me this time. I walk down another street. How many times have we walked down the same street, knowing what's going to happen, getting red flags, and we still keep walking down that same street with the deep hole in it? Can you relate, Black Rose?
Yes, I can. And Delta Cougar just joined us. Maybe she can relate too. Delta, do you keep going down that same old road and
you
falling
is
into the same hole?
Absolutely correct. I was listening at her reading just now, and it just really hit me. All of a sudden, anybody under the sound of our radio voice who is listening at that reading, that is a awesome reading. How many times we go back down that same path and we'll say, okay, I'm going to make a change. I'm not going to go back down that road. But some kind of way we can continue to go back down that same road. Then we'll say it's the other person's fault that's making us, you know, continue to do the same thing over and over again. But if I know a snake down the road, and it's a poison snake, and I already been bit one time, or been warned. Well, let me back up. Before I even got bit, I went down that street and I saw the snake, and really I was warned not to go back down there where that snake at. But I go back down that street where that snake at and get bit. That is such a powerful reading. And it's, you know, we are going continuously do the same thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't get out of that cycle. Think about it, by young girls who not only young girls that are in domestic violence, they get with the same fellow and they could continue to go back down that road. And I know y'all said, here go Delta Cougar again, but continue to go back down that road, continue to have those little bitties scrolling behind them. You know, don't keep going down that same path.
And people get offended when I say that. It's only because I feel like you don't have to continue to go down that road.
Yeah.
Look at you. Look at your situation, Black Rose. Look at what you said. You said you chose not to have any kids unless you had a husband. That's what you said. You said you chose that. Okay. You said, okay, I'm not going to go down that road alone. I want somebody to be there to help me go down that road.
I'm telling you.
It's hard going down that road by yourself when you got six or five biddies behind you. It's hard. So I don't mean it in an ugly way. I'm just trying to break it down so people can understand. And then like young men who continue to get in trouble and go back down that same path. You get out of one situation and you think you over that situation, then you come back out of the jail and you continue to go down that same road, that same pathway.
Yep, same path with the deep hole in it.
And then you don't change the pathway that you own. I remember Barry White said his mother had two sons, and I was looking at him, and this was an interview he gave one time with Bobby Walters, and he said it was him and his brother, and Barry White said he went to jail when he was 16 years old. He said his mother and them lived in poverty. He said, but he was beginning to get in trouble. He said, but when he went to prison this time, he says he made up in his mind that he was going to not go back down that same cycle. Then he said he hooked up with an older man in jail, and the older man began to teach him about the music. And he said he fell in love with music. And he said that was the turning point for him that day. That was his turning point. When he left prison, he got on a straight path. He knew he wasn't going back down that road. But he said his brother went to prison. And he said, he was famous then. He had begun to get famous. I'm kind of giving you a little pair. And he said he had begun to get famous. He said, and every time he would bail his brother out, he took his brother out of the neighborhood. He took him and put him in, you know, away from that surrounding. But Barry White said his brother will always go back down that path and go find his friends. He said his brother would never change, even though he had the money to give his brother. He said he even put his brother in his band crew. His brother was playing music, but he said nothing that he would do. He said his brother wanted that lifestyle. He wanted that thug lifestyle. He said no matter what. Some people love to go down that road. Some people don't want to change. Some people don't want to.
You have to make it up in your mind. Make it up in your mind that you want to go down another path because you know what's down that path. But look, check this out. We, as people of color, have been walking down the same street, getting caught in the same deep holes, getting the same results, being lost, feeling hopeless and afraid for our lives every day, being disrespected. You know, like Black Rose just said, this is just blatant. We have got to make a game change as a people because we have got to do something different. Because what we've been doing, it ain't been working. It ain't been working. All this marching and whatever, it's lovely, you know, it's peaceful, you know, but we have got to do.
It's a part of the whole action plan.
Of the whole, right, exactly.
It's one element.
Yes.
Marching brings attention to the problem. It's a way to bring attention to the problem. It's not the solution. It's just an action. And that's what people have to really get with all of this. So, okay, you go to a march. Okay, now, what's the action after the march? And when you go to these marches, it is imperative for whoever organized the march or you yourself collect at least 5 to 10 phone numbers and emails.
Thank you.
So that you can connect with these people and organize other events.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Because you already know that these people are on your path. These, y'all are walking down the same road. So stay in contact with each other and grow. Do something else.
That's organizing 101. Organizing 101. So any more comments, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with Delta Cougar's Hot Topics, Delta. Oh, I know what. Oh, I'll tell you what. Yeah, what were you about to say, Delta?
No, I was just going to say that I really love that topic, going down that road. That is a great, great reading. That's a, that's a, like Oprah Winfrey said, that's an aha moment. And the minute, it really was, because the minute I heard it read, it was like an aha moment went off in my head.
Ah, good.
It really
I'm going to put that, I'm going to put that on the Lotus Place Radio Facebook page.
So it's an aha moment. It's something that if you in your right mind, it'll make you think.
Exactly.
It was really, and that's a good reading. That really reading is really to make us, anybody hear this, you ought to think.
Yes.
So I enjoyed the reading. I thought it was great.
Yes.
Well, and it's a powerful statement.
It is. And if we look deep within ourselves, we will see something that we may have done just recently or something that we may be doing now that we need to think about. Is it a road that we keep going down and stepping in a deep hole that we really haven't given focus to? Now is the time to go down another path.
Another path.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on
We all can think about in our life right now. We can think about, I could have went. I wished I had went down this path a certain way. Or else I wished I had went this way. Else I had wished I had took this road or took this situation here. There's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways we can think of that. It's a lot of ways.
But you know what? We are where we are, where we're supposed to be right now. Because the road that we took, we were supposed to learn something going down that road. Even if we came in contact with somebody who made us angry, they made us angry because they brought out something in us that we need to deal with. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten angry.
Absolutely.
Access code accepted. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, so we are back here at the Lotus Place.
Mother Zola,
you read your piece on going down the road and not going down that same old road and falling into the same old hole.
Give me just a moment.
Yes.
We're this Scotty.
Okay.
Greetings, ladies.
Hey, Scotty.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm having some technical issues. These phone lines then got crossed up again. I tried to fix it during the break.
Okay.
And so y'all bear with me. I need to hang up and call back in. Okay?
Not a problem.
All right.
Okay.
Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
This service is provided in high definition by freeconferencecallhd.com.
This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
Okay, ladies, we're back. Sorry about that. Oh, they can't hear me. Give me just a moment. Where am I?
Unmuted.
Okay, ladies, we're back.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you, Scotty, for getting us together. How are you? Happy New Year, Scotty.
Happy New Year's, ladies.
And we'll be back on Friday night also to bring in the new year and wish everyone a very, very pleasant and beautiful Happy New Year. Let's see. Okay, so tomorrow is what, Thursday, right? And tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Okay, and yes, so Thursday is New Year's Day. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, got it together. Had to get my days together here. So anyway, so I love your going down the road, and I definitely can relate to some of those going down the road. So, Mother Zola, thank you so much for sharing. Let me see, do I have your line open? Oops, I don't. Sorry. My apologies. There you are. Okay. Love that piece. Maybe before we close out, you can share that again for those who may tune in or have just tuned in. And they
okay.
Would love to hear
it. I would have to open.
Yeah, great, great, great. I'll play a couple of clips here in reference to, oh my God, Bill Cosby and this perp walk. Oh my Lord, I watched that. I said, you know what? And then it looked like they made him trip up or he tripped up.
Oh, they did it on purpose.
Yes, he had a cane.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, hold on. Let's see. Let me play this.
For Fox 411, actor Bill Cosby has been charged with felony assault over an encounter with a woman 12 years ago. Here's Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele in a press conference Wednesday.
Mr. Cosby made two sexual advances at her that were rejected. On the evening in question, Mr. Cosby urged her to take pills that he provided to her and to drink wine, the effect of which rendered her unable to move, respond to his advances, and he committed aggravated indecent assault upon her.
A former Temple University employee told police the comedian drugged and violated her at his home near Philadelphia in 2004. The once celebrated actor previously said under oath that he had consensual sexual contact with the woman. A previous district attorney declined to charge Cosby in 2005. Prosecutors reopened the case over the summer as damaging testimony was unsealed in a related civil lawsuit against Cosby, and as dozens of other women came forward with similar accusations that made a mockery of his image as the wise and understanding Dr. Cliff Huxtable from TV's The Cosby Show. Cosby is expected to be arraigned on the charge Wednesday afternoon in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. A lawyer for Cosby did not immediately return Fox 411's request for comment. Check back to Fox 411 for the latest on the charges against Bill Cosby. I'm Diana Falzone.
Now to that ABC News exclusive, Bill Cosby responding to questions about allegations of sexual assault for the very first time. The actor and comedian is in Alabama, where he is spreading his message of education, preparing to speak with students later today. ABC's Lindsay Davis caught up with him there.
This morning, embattled comedian Bill Cosby trying to change the narrative. For the first time, responding to questions about the barrage of sexual assault allegations.
Are you prepared for the backlash? If a young person comes up to you and says, you know, my mom says you've done some bad things, how will you answer them? If they are pressing you, are you guilty? Did you do it? Are the allegations true?
I'm not sure that they will come like that. I think that many of them say, well, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing, you say the other. My point is, okay, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you where the road is out. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
Since November, allegations have resurfaced, with more than 30 women coming forward, some accusing Cosby of drugging or sexually assaulting them. His side has issued a number of denials, and Cosby has never been criminally charged. But in an effort to turn the page, Cosby, now part of an initiative, invited by the Black Belt Community Foundation to help bring awareness about the state of underfunded schools near Selma, Alabama. But online, a firestorm.
Are you concerned at all that, given the allegations, that that may overshadow your message?
I have been in this business 52 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation. And I can't speak.
Just given the allegations alone, were they enough to make you at least think twice about inviting Mr. Cosby?
I would say yes. At the end of the day, what was most important was how do we make sure that the world knows the Black Belt children matter?
Some of your biggest supporters have said that they're concerned about your legacy. What would you like your legacy to be?
I really know about what I'm going to do tomorrow. I have a ton of ideas to put on television about people and their love for each other.
For Good Morning America, Lindsay Davis, ABC News, Montgomery, Alabama.
So, yeah, Cosby. But look, what I noticed, Delta, and also Mother Zola and listeners. So Cosby was still involved in trying to fund education. He was working with the Black Belt Foundation to bring attention to the underfunding of those Alabama schools. So that's commendable. He always has donated to education.
Yes.
But what do you guys think about the whole rape allegations? I know Delta has her view on it.
Okay, let me say this first.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Cosby is shook. He's shook right now. He really, because he knows more than what we know, and he really just didn't think it would get this far. You know, all of his so-called buddies and friends have turned on him. So, you can tell by his responses, he wasn't really prepared for all of this. But the point I want to make, first of all, I feel as you do, Black Rose. He did it. He did what they do. He's one of many. If you want to prosecute them all. If you want to say, you did this, it's okay. You did this, it's not okay. Then that's not how it's supposed to work. So that's what's happening right now, because that's just what it is. That's why he said, I can't believe this is happening, because you know all of y'all have done this. Okay, so now my second point is, that's how I feel about the case. My second point is, this reminds me of back during slavery out on the plantation, when the massa wanted to get everybody's attention and kind of put the whip to all of them in fear and fright. And they would take the baddest, the biggest, the boldest of the bunch and just do some awful things to them in front of everybody and shock the hell out of everybody and say, we have taken your best. Anybody else want to follow him? You know, so this is one of them. Because so many people look up to Bill Cosby. He's not like a fighter or anything like that. I'm a Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. And they did that with him too. But he's one of those that, oh, the greatest father in all the world. You know. And that's what they're doing. They're taking him and they're gonna do him like they, you know, did Michael Jackson. They're gonna just rip him
up and down. That's the plan. And it's a shock to us, to black people. So that's my relation to this whole charade that's going on. That's what it is. It's a charade.
Oh, well, mine is totally different. And that's what I love about the Lotus Place. We all have different opinions. Me personally, as Delta Cougar, I believe he done it. And just because everybody else done it, do that make it right? No, that don't make it right. He did what he did, and he need to be punished. If he done it, he need to be punished. Because he's a big celebrity, do that give him the okay to do what he did? Yes, he admitted himself, his voice. If you listen at his own voice, he hung himself when he did the deposition. He said that he gave them the drugs, and his intent was to have sex with them. That's why he gave it to them. That came from his mouth. That didn't come from nobody else's mouth. So if he did that intentionally to give them drugs to have sex with them, that's nobody's fault but his own. It's not the master's fault. It's Bill Cosby's fault.
It's not the master's fault.
Because he did it to himself.
It's not the master's fault that he ran away from the plantation. He did it to himself. Master told us not to run away.
Well, I don't see it that way. I see it as he done it to himself. I believe that he did it for so long, and he just got caught.
He just got caught up.
And I know everybody's not a Bible scholar. But can I throw one of my Bible scholar words in there?
You should start bringing the other Christians, like a little Bible scripture on Sundays when you come on, too.
The Bible says, and next time, the Bible say, woe unto a man. This is what the Bible, when the Bible used the word "woe," that means stop in your track and listen. Listen real careful. That means woe. That's like a warning. It said woe unto a man that everybody love and speak well of him. They said woe unto that man, because let me tell you why. The nice and sweet man can get up to you. But a man that's kind of got a bad lifestyle, you gonna keep your eye on that man. I put it like this. If you know somebody that you don't care too much for, you're not gonna let that person get up on you. But a person that's real friendly and real, real outgoing, outgoing, you're gonna let that person in and get up on you. And what I'm saying to say this, Bill Cosby got away with it because he was such an outgoing, loving person. And he figured nobody was going to believe him. And that's how he got away with it. And you cannot tell me everybody's lying. Everybody's not lying. Some of them may be lying, but not everybody. Because he said himself, he deliberately gave them the drugs. He said himself to have sex with them.
Ladies.
Then if you go, hello?
Hey ladies, I'm sorry. Yes. I know one of the people who accused him. She's an activist. Her name is Jewel Allison. She had been on the Cosby Show like a guest appearance, a black woman. How I met her was through, she was participating in the marches in Detroit for Ayanna Jones, Stanley, the little girl who got killed by that cop. And she mm-hmm. is, she's one of those women. And I don't, I ain't never met her, but I've had conversations with her offline. We didn't talk about that. We were talking about social justice issues, and she does not strike me as a person who would make this up. And as I think that was Sister Delta just speaking, is that he has admitted to doing this. Now, I understand a whole bunch of other people was doing it, but he ain't white like them. He ain't got that white privilege, and he finding out, you know, right now that he ain't got it. And then,
yeah, you're right.
And this woman,
you can't do as they do.
Exactly. And it's this woman, and there's this woman that they are charging him with before the statute of limitations run out. Her mother got him on tape admitting to it. And saying that, well, I'll pay for her education opportunities, and I'll pay for
that
her therapy.
That is correct, brother. You absolutely correct.
And I'll pay for her therapy and all of that. And look, everybody make mistakes. But like me and my mother was talking about this earlier today, and she was like, you know, he did that for a number of years, and he told that one person, I am sick. Well, why you didn't get no help and stop doing what you was doing? You know, that's my whole thing. I got daughters. I got a sister. I got a mother. You know, I got female friends. And I'm sorry. I'm not buying into the conspiracy theory that they only doing this to keep him from buying NBC. You know, he has admitted to doing what he did. And if you don't change your behavior, then guess what? You got to pay the piper. Like y'all were just talking about earlier. About the, you know, Barry White being in prison and his brother wouldn't change his ways and whatnot. So he's gotten away with this for a number of years. And I don't wish bad on nobody. But at the same time, man, we can't be defending people like him and R. Kelly.
And we know they wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And but see, this is what makes us look bad as a people. And I'm not saying this to be us. But I just, as I'm just speaking out to our whole listening radio audience, we need to defend what's right. But when a rapist gets on TV and says that he deliberately went and ordered this and had it coming to his house in large quantities to deliberately rape women, we can't defend that.
That's a serial rapist, I know. It's a serial rapist.
I'm not defending those actions.
I'm not defending him. He's a serial rapist.
He admitted it. But then he kept on doing it. He wouldn't stop. He kept on doing it over and over again. And he got away with it because he told the women that he was so powerful where nobody believed him. And see, and I got a niece right now. My niece, we was discussing this, and this is a good topic too. My niece have been molested, and she was molested, and my niece is so messed up. Her mother is my nephew's daughter, and she's my great niece. And my niece says in her journal, she says she wants to kill herself. Because she feels so dirty. But I'm saying this. See, we got to put ourselves in these women places. My niece said she felt so dirty. She just want to kill and hurt herself.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and think about these women. Think about how these women feeling. That they saying everybody calling them a lie. And see, and that's what he was banking on. He was banking on his celebrity status. That's how he got away with it, because everybody loves Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
The jello pudding.
And he told them what nobody gonna do. The lady said he told them what nobody gonna believe them.
Well, it's called karma. It's called karma. And he just happened to get it in this lifetime.
And but now come on y'all, listen at this now. If Black Rose, you got that computer? I can't work it like you,
and
but
you know what? I am going to have to get you a computer because we need you
to teach me how to do it first,
and yes, how to use it so you can Google. But you have that iPhone and you can Google on that Delta. Don't you
have a mini computer?
Yes, I had it. I do have a mini computer.
What's your deal? And then let's go into your hot topic. Is this part of your hot topic?
But can I say this about Bill Cosby,
yes,
right there, please?
Yes,
what I was saying is say this about my niece. And what I'm saying is he got away with it for so long because he was so popular. And that's how he did what he did. But everybody, the ladies were saying it was known among his set. When you went to his show,
mm-hmm.
when the people went and worked at the Bill Cosby show, one of the black guys that was married to his daughter that was playing one of the husband
mm-hmm.
said they was laughing and joking about it. Said it was known. It was thrown around on the set when
mm-hmm.
he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was thrown around on the set. And then another thing, honey, got it. He had a white guy who was called I forgot that white man name. He was called the
His
fixer.
Handler, I believe. Yes.
And they
he
said
like
he's
handler or fixer.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Bill Cosby,
every time he did something to one of the women, and the women threatened to go to the law, Bill Cosby would give them this. He would send them a check, and this is what the white man did. And the white man got pooped.
I remember saying that on the news.
Yeah, that's
Whoa.
Right. The white man kept a copy of every check.
Of course he did.
Bill Cosby
mm-hmm.
didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
The man ran a copy of every check of every
woman
he had to pay off.
He is done.
Now, don't, and then one more thing. Now, don't you know, if you got a husband, you ain't crazy. You know something.
Yeah, Camille knew.
You'll feel something. You come on now. Let's don't be crazy.
Camille knew. He's known.
And y'all remember, it was a black girl went to Bill Cosby's house back here some years ago. It ain't been too long ago. I'm surprised they ain't brought her up. It's a black girl went to Bill Cosby's house, and it may be this woman here. One of them went to the house. And the wife was out of town. And he claimed that he had to do some work. And he drugged her at his house.
And I remember hearing about that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when the lady came to, the lady broke and ran and got away from him. And
I remember that.
And Bill Cosby called a cab. And then he gonna say it was consensual sex. And the lady said no. He tried to rape her.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Well, I remember when that girl, that little illegitimate child came out.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what under the rule.
But, quieted that one down quickly.
I was kind of tickled about that. He has this holier than thou attitude about everything. Always waggling his finger at everybody
else. So who did he get the child from? A black woman?
No. White
I
woman.
Remember. Yeah.
A white woman?
I was just about to say, I believe she was a white woman because she was, you know, one of those kind of little mulatto looking girls. I'll try to see if I can pull that story up. Delta, did you finish telling us about what happened with your niece? I was trying to.
Oh, yeah. I was listening at what Scotty was saying. Everybody's not lying, and not only top of that, people don't realize the damage that you do when you damage a woman that way. They are mentally damaged behind it, and I know
and emotionally and mentally.
And my niece is that way. So we have to stand up as a woman and as people of color. When our people that we really look up to do something wrong, hey, we have to stand up and call them out for what they are.
Absolutely right.
And what I'm saying is, his words, like me and Scotty saying, his own words are hanging him. Because he said himself, he deliberately bought it in order to slip it and give it to them so he can have sex. That's what he, and then he even went so far and said young women. So that's him. He said it. So that sums it up right there. He filled his own face.
And then let's go into your hot topic still. So let me just share this one. I think this is from your girl.
I don't know if I could be guilty at all.
Let's see. I'll play this one right now.
But I can tell you, once upon a time, I worked at a radio station here in New York called 98.7 KISS. And I used to work at the morning show, and I did this segment called Dishing the Dirt, which is like Hot Topics. See, I've been doing this for a long time. But back then, it was like 1990. There was no internet. No, you know, so, you know, you get your information from what you see when you're out in the club or by reading the magazine. I was perusing the Inquirer magazine. And I came across an interview that they did with Dr. Cosby. Now, ironically, this is one of the only times he's ever spoken out about these sexual allegations. And it was to the Inquirer back then. So I dust the article off, and I talk about it in my Dish the Dirt segment, you know, with the Wake Up Club. I was part of a, you know, a club. Next thing you know, Cosby rings up the general manager, demands for me to be fired. Talk to the general manager in such a way that the general manager, my own boss, turned on me like a wild pit bull. Called me in his office in the middle of the, you know, morning broadcast. Cosby's on the speakerphone. Cosby dressed me down and called me everything but a daughter of God.
Wow.
Now, that's my own personal account with these allegations. And this, like I said, was back in 1990. We'll be following this story on...
And that was,
that
Wendy Williams.
Yes.
That was Wendy
but
Williams.
But you see what Brother I was Brown saying? Was you see what... Okay. Oh, hey, Brother Brown.
Hi, Brother Brown.
Hey,
Brother
but you
Brown.
See what I was saying, Black Rose?
Yeah, I can see him doing that. I can see him doing that. I really
that's
can.
That's what I'm saying. That's why people wouldn't come out against him, because they said he would threaten him and said, I'm going to ruin your career. That I can make phone call and I'll ruin you.
She said he dressed Bill Cosby dressed her down. Oh my goodness. Dressed her down. Oh my Lord.
Dressed her down. I know what that means.
Okay, Brother Brown. So Delta's getting ready to go into our hot topics. Did you have an intro or anything that you'd like to share with us, an announcement or anything before she goes into her hot topic?
Well,
I would like a Brother Brown to address whether he thinks about him being arrested as a man. What Brother Brown think about
him? About who?
About that Bill Cosby.
Well, you know, it's just like they got rid of Tom Joyner. Anytime the white man uses Negroes and put them up on the pedestal, that same white man will break you down. Bill Cosby thought he was so high up on a ladder of a plateau because of the show and the little white folk jokes he was told, that he thought that because they paid him lots and lots of money and he made them down to school, he thought he was untouchable. Any Negro who allowed themselves to be promulgated like Steve Harvey and all these Negroes that think that these white folks love them, when they get tired of your black ass and excuse my language, they the ones that hold the key to bust you down.
You do.
And they busting him down. You understand
Ooh.
Me? The Lord's coming to my neighbor. They have not came
Ooh.
To his home. And his ass is going to suffer. And if he did that to whether it was white women or black women, then he needs to suffer. His problem is this. He thought the white man loved him so much that he could do anything to do to their women. And they showed him. He could use our women just like he did OJ. We will use our women to destroy you.
Oh, yeah. She will. Oh, she yeah. will.
And when they use these women against him, there was nothing they could do about it. He had no defense whatsoever. And he gets exactly what he deserved. I don't feel sorry for him.
I don't
know. In no way, form, or fashion. What if they take him out here tomorrow and hang him, then guess what? Pay the white man, you get the consequences. It's like somebody said about, I was looking at Cat Williams the other night, and he was talking about OJ. He said, anytime you're stupid enough to go to jail for going back and trying to find a picture of yourself, so you're a damn fool. But he got, man, he never told the truth. And it was in the Inquirer, the story came out in the Inquirer during his trial, that his wife was connected with some people that were, some people that were getting ready to testify against some Colombians.
Uh-huh.
And because they allowed her to go in the safe house, her and that girl, Faye Resnick, they allowed them to go in the safe house, you understand me, before these people went to trial, the Colombians made an example out of her. That's who, and OJ couldn't do nothing about it because he was, you know, he knew that these people would come after him and his children. No, he didn't kill that girl. But he knew who killed her because the same way some people hit his wife and that guy, they had killed a whole family in New York a week earlier. The same identical. They called it a Colombian necktie when they cut your throat and fix. Yeah, that's how they let you know.
I've heard it in movies. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they let you know that they mean business. And that's what they did.
I've heard that reference.
And mentally, he's messed up for the rest of his life. He'll never recover.
Oh, you know what? We went right through our 10 o'clock break. Scotty, do we need to take the station ID break?
Yeah, we'll just take a real quick one.
Okay, let's just take a quick break and then we will be right back.
Hey, Brother Brown.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, Delta Cougar, what do you have for us? Some more hot topics.
Yes. Down in Florida.
Florida.
A black man was cleaning out his car at night in his own driveway. Somebody called in and said this black man was breaking in this car.
Oh, Lord.
The police, the man in his own driveway now, at night, doing his own thing, minding his own business, cleaning his car out. And the man was sitting, he was singing. He told the police he was singing. The police came to the end of the driveway, saw the man, and didn't even ask no questions. Opened up fire on the man.
What?
Yes, in Florida. And I'll send you the link. And they shot the man, almost like they killed the man. And the man said he can't believe that the police did this, and the sheriff's department, and the sheriff said he stand behind his guest deputy because they got a call saying that somebody was breaking in the car. Well, the man said, I didn't have no weapon, no gun or nothing. He said, why the police didn't ask me who am I? I call in my tag to see what's going on. He said they didn't ask
sir,
me anything.
Sir, is this your car? Sir, do you live here? Can I see your ID?
They just drove up. He said they just drove up to the edge of his driveway and shot by 15 rounds at him, and it they showed his car was all shot up, and the man said he can't believe this. The police wanted to know why was he singing late at night. He said, I can sing in my driveway and clean my car.
So they asked him after they shot him?
Because when they drove up, the black guy said when they drove up, they didn't ask no questions. He said they stood at the edge of his driveway and saw him and just started shooting.
I have to pull that one up, Delta. That is crazy. But you know what? We already know what's going to happen with that. He's going to sue. They'll pay him $5 million at best.
Yeah.
And the beat goes on. What do you think, though, Legal Eagle, Brother Brown?
Well, you know, until we, like I said so many times, until we start learning how to retaliate spiritually, you white folks will continue to use. And see, this is this is nothing new for them. This act of killing Negroes, of killing Africans in America, this has been going on since they initiated. It's called a casual killing act, and they made it a law in the beginning in the state of Virginia, and they said anytime a white person kills a Negro, right? Anytime a person kills a Negro in the process of making sure that they doing right, then you will only be charged with a misdemeanor. That's why nobody's ever prosecuted. The other element is the use of color of law. Color of law exonerates police officers for any wrongdoing when it comes to that nature. And they are using this over and over. And see, technically, the FBI, when you utilize the element of color of law, the FBI is supposed to investigate and be on your side. So I don't hear none of these so-called, I want to say a bad word, but I'm not. I don't hear none of these so-called Negro leaders speaking about any of these things that I've been on to. And that guy Crump, whenever you see him, you're going to better believe ain't nobody going to jail. I'm so sick of
who's not allowed. I am too. Like, he's a lawyer for black people.
Yeah. Him and Malik Shabazz. Malik Shabazz is supposed to be this big, badass lawyer. I ain't seen him defend no damn body. Nobody. I have not seen him do nothing but run his mouth. You know, and you know, like I learned something in the street years ago, and it's something that I use all the time. Talk is cheap to take money to buy land. I don't see these niggas, these so-called bourgeois house niggas ain't doing nothing. They ain't even doing no more talking. I don't hear nothing from him. When he was with the New Black Panther Party, all you could do was hear his mouth on Fox News. Every time you turn around, his mouth was on Fox News. Then he started. Malik Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Supposed to be this big time lawyer, and he riding around, got two or three Mercedes. You know, I mean, what's up? Same thing on Lunch of Fry Time. He got marble columns in his house and marble floors. I mean, come on, let's get real, people. I've been in this struggle for almost 40 years. I ain't got the only marble I ever had was the marble I used to play with when I was a little boy. It doesn't take that to progress our struggle. You know, and what really hurts me, and I'm going to say a little bit about Sandra Bland, what really hurts me with that situation is, where are your Negro men at? They act like a bunch of punks. When it comes to black women. And that disgusts me. I am totally disgusted with the mannerism of what they do. Because they don't do a damn thing for our women. That girl died relentlessly in jail behind some bullshit. And I cuss because I ain't no Christian and I ain't no Muslim. I'm just who I am. And anytime a black man stood up and see what these white folks are doing to our women, and they don't step up to the plate, I have no respect for them. Absolutely none. But I tell you what, I will. Yeah, I mean, I am what I am. I ain't rich. I ain't on TV. I ain't on YouTube. I ain't on none of that mess. But I tell you what I'll do. I will always support my black women. And I will always look out for them. When your daughter came to this area, she can tell you when I met her, I made sure she was all right when she left.
You told
her? Yeah. Me and my wife made sure that she was protected. And if she had had a problem, then it would have been some chaos in Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they know who I am down here, and they know what I stand for. So I don't stand
right,
for
Brown.
I don't stand for no foolishness when it comes to dealing with our black women. But I have no respect and very little patience for any black man except to let our women suffer like this.
Thank you, Brother Brown.
We sure appreciate it.
We need more. We got one more. Three more after this. Well, four altogether. Well, a white woman in North Carolina.
Now, you got some of them want to fight for the cause. Some people do now. This white woman was so angry. And I sent you the link through your Facebook page. This white woman was so angry that with the police because they did not get indicted for the young black boy, Tamir Wright. This white woman took it upon herself to go down and prove a point. And she bought a BB gun. And went down to the police station. This is how angry she said she was. Mm-hmm. She got a BB gun and went down to the police station and started pointing it at the police and told the police that, you know, she wanted to kill him. And she was pointing this BB gun and kept pointing it at different police. And they never shot her. And she said she done this really to prove a point. To show people it do matter about the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And now they took the white woman and threw her in jail and got her charged with terroristic threats.
Oh my god, for real? I heard about the story, but I didn't know about all the charges on her, the additional charges. Oh my goodness. She got charged with terroristic threat. Oh, Lord.
And I think they got in there with no bond.
Now, what? See, if she had not have brought the black folks in there, baby, she would be at home today with her grandchildren.
She sure would. Yeah, that's the retaliation.
Yeah. That's a trip. Well,
oh boy, that's gonna be a hard one to fight.
BB gun.
She'll win because she's gonna get a good white lawyer. He's gonna go in there. He's gonna do a psychiatric evaluation of her, and they'll come out and find out she have goddamn crazy, and then they're gonna die.
You're right. That's always a good one for them.
Yeah, yeah. See, they always got an avenue of escape.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they do kill one of their own, they have to do that to save face. But they can kill one of their own and justify it and pay them. But shit, they killing 25 to 1. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Baltimore yesterday, what really hurt me, and I was on North Avenue right where they burned up the CVS store. The heroin addiction in that area is so strong that all up and down North Avenue, 24 hours a day, there's nothing but addicts.
Wow.
Nothing but addicts. I went downtown because I get my body off from this Arab down there in downtown Baltimore. So I went down there to get some stuff. I got Yeah, good for women, for ladies, you know. And man, there's a market down there in Baltimore called Lexington Market. And me and my wife used to go there because every now and then she used to get this craving for chicken. I said, well, I make sure you ain't pregnant now. But anyway, we used to go down there, man, and they would be selling heroin right inside the market. Some of the best food you ever want to eat in your life, fresh fish and all that. But it's infested with heroin addiction. And what they're doing there in Baltimore, they're taking heroin and they're cutting it with fentanyl. This fentanyl patch for pain that they use, these pain medicine doctors are giving out, you know, they boil it, and they get the medication out of it. Then they cut it and they put it and mix it with heroin. They have had so many overdoses. And in Baltimore, in the area that I live in, but guess who's doing the ODing? White women. Wow. I had a meeting last week with both state's attorneys right just a week before Christmas. Because I told them, I said, this addiction is coming to my community. I want to stop. I'm not going out here trying to find out who's selling jobs and who's selling dope, but that's not my job. That's a narcotic officer's job. What I'm trying to do is get my people off it, educate them before these young kids get hooked on it so they won't have to deal with this. So right now they're going to sponsor me to go to Annapolis, Maryland in January or February and introduce a bill. Get us some treatment on the Eastern Shore because there is none. The whole Eastern Shore has no drug treatment. But we have. That's needed.
I've heard about that epidemic up there.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, you
talk about when you
just see hundreds of people on the corner. I mean, hundreds. Mm-hmm. Just like it's just like they. You know how it was when Freddie Gray. When you go downtown Utah Street and Lexington Street, that's all you see is addicts. On both sides of the street, blocks and blocks of addicts. Right in the heart of Baltimore downtown.
It's just looking like the Carters right on that street. Delta, come on, let's hit some more of your hot topics so we can move more into the next topic.
Well, we got a black woman. She's in Portland, Maryland. If I'm saying it right, Portland, Maryland. A black woman that was 20-something years old, and she had a mental illness, her family said.
Mm-hmm.
And she killed this woman that came to her house because she said the woman didn't believe in God. And she took this atheist woman, and murdered her, and the woman laid there on her sofa dead for 3 days until someone came in and discovered the woman.
Yeah, she said.
And we got a lot of black people, a lot of women, if look at this, y'all, lately, have been suffering with mental illness. And also the young man that just got killed in Chicago, his daddy was on CNN last night. And his daddy said he called the police not for his son to be killed. He called the police so they can take his son and get some treatment. But I didn't like what the father was saying, basically. The father was saying he was a good child. He loved his son and blah, blah, blah. But they said your son's been in foster care just about all his life. That's what they said. His son had been in foster care just about all his life. Then also they said that they had the young man, he said that basically what he was saying is the family, I guess on the boy's mother's side, was keeping it hid, keeping it hide by his mental illness. He was saying they didn't want nobody to know. It was like a secret. They was ashamed of it. And he said his son could have got way more help for his mental illness if that family hadn't have been shamed, if the family
having it kept it a secret. That's basically what he was saying. And so me personally, I read through the lines. I figured he was talking about the boy's mother. So, but this black girl here had mental illness. But lately, there have been a lot of black girls coming out, black women coming out. And things are happening just like the lady that was up in Las Vegas, who they saying she was mentally ill. Now, this black woman here on this news article, she was mentally ill. So that's something we need to talk about on our radio show. For black people in the black community, we need to not be ashamed of mental illness.
Right, because you're having some issues. And this is a place where people can feel free to come on and open up if you feel that there's something that you want to speak with someone about and you just don't have anyone. That's why we have Ask Delta, and then we also have a host of others that can offer some advice. Speaking of advice, Delta, we have to get to your letter tonight. I do not want to overlook this letter. So,
okay, well, let's go to the letter now.
About that.
Let's go to
for
the
your
letter.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you have one more news story for us, and then we can just have like a quick comment, and then we'll go
well,
to the letter.
It was a okay.
A
it
short
was
one.
A short one. It was a black guy, and let me see where he is at. I got that written down too.
Good for
okay.
you.
yeah, I'm trying to keep up with it, like y'all told me. Now, this one, him was down in Florida, and see, and this was. I would like to send this out to our radio audience. A lot of these young black boys, I hate to say it, we try to tell them to pull their pants up. We try to tell them to do this. You know, just try and tell them don't speak this way. Well, the young black boy was in McDonald's. He was 23 years old. An older gentleman, I guess they was calling the young man to tell him that his order was ready. But I guess the young man was busy doing something else, so an older gentleman spoke up and told him, your order's ready. But I guess the young man didn't like the way the man told him his order was ready. And they began to argue. Do you not know that young man pulled out a gun in McDonald's and shot the man because he told the man, I'm going to kill you. Because he did not like the way the man told him his order was ready. What is wrong with our youth today?
Well, I can
what
say,
is
I
wrong
can tell
with
you one
them?
Thing. They watching what's on the television. They also watch each and every president pretty much do the same thing, get angry about someone, and then want to go over there and kill them. So, I mean, it's just the culture that people live in. All these shows showing all the killings, the guns, everything is FBI tracking down criminals now. Just about every single show, like, that I see, it's like FBI investigating this or cops this or that. It's all tracking down criminals and shooting people and gangsters and this and that. And it's life. In some parts, I guess, not my life, but so that's what I think. That's just my theory of it all.
Yeah, well, those
are. We need some anger management. We need therapy. Black people in particular need therapy because we're dealing with these crazy people in this crazy system, dealing with wickedness, and it's difficult. And I think that some people are having some breakdowns because they've been disillusioned, and now they're going through this awakening process. It's too much to bear, too much truth. Some people can't handle some of this, what's going on. This is a shift, and everybody's not going to make it. So
that's
some
right.
people checking out. Some people checking out. It's whatever. You know, we are strong, or we just have different ways of trying to make it, and some people don't know those survival skills or they don't have the support system. Many, 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 many factors. But that's why people really need to have somebody or some people or somewhere that you can go and open up
and release and talk. You still have to talk that stuff out in your head, because I know a lot of times I talk it out in my head because I know I make sense. But it's good to have someone that you can talk to. So Delta, it's very suspicious and it's very disheartening that we see so many, in particular, young people that are having these so-called breakdowns. Is it the long-term effects of possibly Ritalin that some of these children may have been forced on? So I think that we should be able to, like, draw some type of conclusion. Maybe we could see what type of diet.
Well, I think, a lot of the kids are born to parents who are on drugs.
On drugs.
And a lot of this stuff leads to, it leads to effects. The kids be affected behind it. And you
definitely
can't say they don't. They do.
I couldn't imagine. Delta, come on. We need to get to your letter.
Okay, I'm waiting on you. That's all my hot topics. That's it. Come on with the letter, baby. I'm ready.
Thank you, Delta. So let's see here. Hey. Delta Cougar. All right, let's see. Delta.
Ooh, I like that little music. Is that going to be played all the time before my letter? Thank you,
guys. I picked that for you, Delta. That's actually my theme song. Oh, speaking of which, oh my God, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just have to ask this question. And if you don't have the answer right off, if you have to think about it, you can share it on Wednesday. Delta, I read that this is a question that, an interview question that some companies are beginning to ask prospective employees. So they're like doing away with or discarding like those old questions like, what are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? They're coming up with some more creative types of questions to look into, to have some insight into a person's personality. So the question is, what is your theme song, or what would be your theme song when you enter a room? So when you enter a room, if someone could just play this song for you, what would that be? Mine is that one, Firecracker. Yeah, that's me. By Mass Production, always have that song, because they used to play that song at the skating rink when we used to go to Dave's Skating Rink. On Third Street on Sundays we would go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That song is just nostalgic for me, and it also represents me because I am a firecracker. Believe that. Yes. So Delta, what's your theme song? And
now
I'll have
my song
to play it for you.
Now my song will be If. Now, see, this is a Christian song, but this is a song I love, though.
Okay.
What is? If you never do anything else for me, you have done more than enough.
Now, who sings that?
It's sang by, what's her name? Yolanda Adams, or something.
Yes, Yolanda Adams. Okay. I went to
around
the corner from here, and she was there. I think it's like her long-time church.
It's just, if you've never done anything else for me. Now, let me break that down. When I say, if the song say, if you never do anything else for me, you have done more than enough, because when I look back at my life and the situations and the things that I've been in, that I've been through,
but
I think that God have blessed me, and He have blessed me in my life, and I had many opportunities in my life, and it was up to me to take hold to my opportunities. So if I never get another chance to get the opportunities,
again, he have done more than enough for me. Because in what I mean in my life, God have been good to me, and I mean that I have been blessed through the years.
All right.
That's the way I look at it.
Thank you. I love it. Yeah, I love
that's
it.
That's beautiful.
You know what?
That's
Let's
beautiful.
Just take a really, really quick break so that we can move on into your letter, and then our mother Zola,
okay,
is going to share with us. All right. We'll be right back.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right, and we are back here at the Lotus Place. 641-715-3660 is the number to dial. And the code is 549032. Press pound and then press star 61 if you would like to share. So, Delta, we have a letter for you. Someone needs your advice. So, ask Delta. Delta, this one is called, I like this, Feeling Sticky. So, Feeling Sticky writes, Dear Delta, I have a question for you. I'm in a dilemma, and I call this a sticky situation. It's a sticky situation because my friend introduced me to a guy that I find, that I find quite attractive. Now, we first started out as friends, and we would hang out and have a really good time. There was no pressure. We would just go out, have a sandwich, have a drink, and have fun. Here is where the dilemma comes in. My friend that introduced me to him has a friend that used to date this guy. And they, although they no longer date, I know that she really liked him, because I've heard her mention him before, but she knows that I hang out with this guy. So, Delta, please tell me, what do you think I should do? I would feel quite awkward dating him. If I were to date him, I would feel quite awkward. So, I don't know. I really like him. We have a good time together. He likes me. We enjoy each other's company. So, what should I do?
Well, it ain't no sticky situation. All you gotta do is take the plate when it's sticky, wash it off. And what I mean by that is, okay, you're no longer together with him, and they no longer together. She knows that y'all hanging out. And believe me, she already probably know that it's probably way more than just hanging out. Mm-hmm. But if she's concerned about, hurting the young lady's feelings, I would go and have a talk with her. I would have a talk with her if her and that young lady are friends, and let her know, how do you feel about this? But one thing about it is, you can't stop love. You can't stop that. So if she have no ties to him, and he was dating her before her time, I don't see nothing wrong with it. That was before her time. And evidently they all friends, and if the other friend introduced her to him, She didn't think nothing was wrong with it because she said that she was the other girl's friend.
That's true.
She said the other girl was her friend. So so you saying all of y'all know each other, all of y'all are friends.
Mm-hmm.
So if you dated him a long time ago, so you go on your way, he go on his way. So evidently, he moved away from you because he's hanging out with her. You can't make nobody want you. So all you got to do is wash the serve off your plate and move on.
And it won't be a sticky situation anymore.
And it won't be a sticky situation.
There you go. There you go.
I love it. I love it. I agree because I think that she should just let her friend know. I would let the friend know and then say, hey, you know, I want to talk to whoever and let her know that, you know, dude and I kind of like him and he likes me too. Do you have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
And then also, and one thing about it, it'd be different if the it was a marriage situation. This is no marriage situation.
Right.
This was no engagement situation.
Mm-mm.
It's just someone who used to talk with someone. And that's
right.
It.
Right. And if
you start eliminating like that, oh my God, in your little small circle, your little, what is it, 5 or 6 degrees of people, if you start eliminating those people, you'll never find a mate.
And that's what I'm just finna say. You got many people who knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the case. I may run up on somebody that I liked it. And he probably used to date somebody I knew from years and years ago.
Yeah.
And think about it, it's just like people getting divorced and separate. They go on and they move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So they separate from that person. So
I think that's some good advice there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I really do.
I agree. I agree.
You agree, Brother Brown?
Yeah. I mean, if you get a situation like that, first of all, we're dealing with adults and we're not dealing with teenagers. She should be woman to say to him, because you had a relationship with her and I'm now dating you and we're seeing each other, he needs to straighten that out. It's the same way if it had been a two men and a woman, and I was in a situation like that years ago, so what I did, I put the weight on the woman. I asked her in front of the man, you choose the one that you want to be with. If it's him, then I'm gone.
All right now.
Yeah, I ain't got time to wait.
That's a good solution, Brother Brown. That was mine.
What did she want to do?
Because I remember one time now, I ain't always been hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, but Brother Brown just totally brought up something. But I remember one time I got caught up with two guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm just being honest. I got caught up, and they came together, and it was going to be a bad situation. One of them was going to pull a gun. I said, wait, come on now. I'm being honest. One was trying to pull a gun. And I said, look, wait a minute. This is getting out of hand. I said, now look. Now this is my boyfriend. But you my other friend too. So let me just go and you go on and let me go and get in the car with him. Because the other gentleman blocked the car. He wasn't gonna let us buy. And I said, oh my God, this man. You know, I didn't want this on my hand. I really did.
Yes.
I didn't want this on my hand. And I told him, I said, look, come on now. I said, let me get out of this car. Let me get on over here with him. I said, because really, now this supposed to be my boyfriend. So, you know me, you just have something on the side. So, let's just
Let me just get out of this car.
You just left the ad piece.
Yeah, let me get out of this
car.
Delta.
But, you know,
Delta,
I'm just being honest. Much.
Yeah,
you,
yes.
Brother Brown, but no, Brother Brown made me thought about that when he said, he asked the woman, you have to choose.
That's right.
And so you had to choose.
So I had to choose. So that day, I didn't want no, cause situations can get out of hand, and I didn't want nobody to get hurt. So I told, I said, oh my God, what would it look like in the paper? I'm 17 years old, and my friends are in their 40s. That just wouldn't look nice.
No, no, no. I'm glad you became a first lady and a preacher's wife. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving Delta Cougar. Lord have mercy. All right, look, we need to get into Aja's piece. Aja has a piece for us, and this is part one, and we'll pick up part two on Friday also. You know, Friday we're talking about some New Year's and some relationships and sex. So, all right, Aja, what do you have for us?
Okay, this is Ladies' Night, so this is a piece for our women. This is called I'm Not Your Superwoman. I started watching Mary Jane, being Mary Jane a few months ago, and was struck by seeing on screen what the black woman goes through in this life, and it went to the core of my soul and ripped at my heart. The show is part of all of us, and although it's meant to be fiction, it's real. We experience the pain that so often we hide and just keep on pushing. The invisible tears are the hardest tears to wipe away. The strongest aren't the ones who never cry. The strongest are the ones who cry their eyes out at night and get up the next morning smiling, ready for the next punch. The strong black woman, black queen, mother of earth, goddess, ride or die, has been called every unforgivable name under the sun, from bed wench to hoe to bitch, warfare moms and gold diggers. Her features, body structure, skin tone, and style continues to be imitated by many. We have the strongest, most versatile locks on the planet, and our skin is rich with life-enhancing melanin. Yet, the most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. Quote, unquote, Malcolm X. Malcolm said this in the late 1960s, and it stands true today. We have been, for the most part, left without the protection of our mates. No other group in America has had their identity socialized out of existence, as has black women. When black people are talked about, the focus tends to be on black men. And when women are talked about, the focus tends to be on white women. Quote, unquote, bell hooks. We are the only class of females whose male counterparts degrade and defame them publicly in their music and become famous by doing so. Yet we remain in the role of superwoman. In the music industry, female artists have traditionally put their emotions into lyrics and put those lyrics to a melody. We're crying out to our black man in the following song by Lyrical Angels. Look into the corners of your mind. I'll always be there for you through good and bad times. But I can't be the superwoman that you want me to be. I'll give you my everlasting love if you return love to me. Karen White, Superwoman. Black Rose, you want to share one with us? Sade?
Oh yes. Let me see. I'm sorry, I'm getting to my Sade piece. Okay. What about this one? Brother, don't let nobody hold you back. Don't let nobody hold you, control you, or mold you. Brother, don't let nobody hold you back. That one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If nobody told you, brother.
If nobody told you, brother, I'm here to let you know that you're so wonderful. You're so marvelous. You're so beautiful. You're splendid. You're fabulous. Brilliantly blessed in every way. Y'all can't touch we. That's Jill Scott. Love her.
Jill Scott.
I love Jill Scott.
I do too.
Shout out to you.
I could be a computer analyst, the queen with the nappy hair raising her fist. Or I could be much more and a myriad of this. Hot as a summer, sweet as a first kiss. And even though I can do all these things, I need you. That's the fact is, I need you by Jill Scott.
Yes.
Have you found Sade yet?
Yes, yes, soldier of love. I've been torn up inside. I've been left behind. Tall I ride. I have the will to survive in the wild, wild west, trying my hardest, doing my best to stay alive. I am love, soldier Sade, soldier of love. I like a soldier of love.
Yes, yes. He's trying to tell me it's hard out here. It is really hard out here for a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one by Lauren Hill.
Ooh, I love
now you want to? Yes, yes. She was trying to tell them when she saw that they were switching over to demeaning and defacing the black woman in their lyrics. This was her song to them. This was her cry. Them. Now you want to bawl over separation, tarnish my image in your conversation. Who you going to scrimmage like you the champion? You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. Now, how come you talk turn cold? Gain the whole world for the price of your soul, trying to grab hold of what you can't control. Now you all floss, what a sight to behold. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. I was hopeless, now I'm on hope road. Tried to play straight, how your whole style bent. Consequences, no coincidence. Hypocrites always want to play innocent. Always want to take it to the full out extent. Always want to make it seem like good intent. Never want to face it when it's time for punishment. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. Now you don't understand, man, universal law. What you throw out comes back to you, star. Never underestimate those who you scar. Cause karma comes back to you hard. That's Lauren Hill, Lost One.
Lyrics of the day of 1999. Yes. That was like one of the best albums of 1999.
Yes.
She got so much knowledge in her voice.
She really did.
And yes, oh my God, love on him.
I do. We always really laying it down.
Yes, singers and performers. But back to the Superwoman. Okay, back to Superwoman.
Here's the one I really love, Jill Scott. This is my last one. What if I was gone forever? No more chocolate kisses. No nappy dugout ever. No mama, no daughter, no sister, no sister friend. Tell me, my brother, what would become of you then? What if, poof, every black female in the world disappeared? Your man child left unattended. Lost without no one behind the steering wheel. Tell me, your beautiful brown would be forever gone, with no more cocoa wounds to carry your brown. You right there would be the last of your kind. Can you feel this song? How does that affect your mind? Cause if there was no me, there'd be no you. Can you feel me?
Reach into your soul for the answer. Reach wherever you need to find it. Reach. Jill Scott, how would that make you feel? Yes, the black woman is strong, resourceful, exotic, brilliant, and supportive with the patience of Job and so much more. As goddesses here on earth, however, we have taken human form and we can still feel pain. Even goddesses get worried. What would you do if we just went poof?
Poof, poof, poof.
Poof.
Mm. Well, I tell you this in reference to the Superwoman syndrome. I used to do that. And I learned that that is not the answer, not for me. And I learned to be more selfish in a sense. Mm-hmm. Think about myself, my health, my wealth.
Right.
Me, is it good for me? Or is this totally to benefit someone else? And if so, how is that going to affect or impact me down the road? Like,
right.
For instance, I used to allow people, and I know for some people this may sound really strange, but I used to actually try to be so nice to people that I would let people just talk to me and have me late for my next appointment. Whereas I should have said, okay, well, look, I will catch back up with you. We'll continue this over tea or whatever. And so I had to learn I don't have to just really try to do everything and be nice to everybody. And I don't have to let people impede upon what I need to do or my personal goals or whatever it is, whatever I'm trying to do. If I'm trying to go home and take a nap, I don't need for you to, like, slow me down for that, make me tardy for my nap. But Delta, what about you? Do you experience the Superwoman, or have you experienced that Superwoman syndrome?
Yes, I am. I'm a person. I'm always trying to please everybody. I'm always trying to run and do for the family. Always trying to run and do for the grandkids. Leave me left out. Leave Papa left out. I'm always running, trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always on the go for other people. And then I'm always on the go for others. It's always somebody else. It's hardly ever for me.
Yes.
And I'm a person.
I know we talked about that.
And I'm a person. I can't say no.
So many people expect us to say yes.
Yeah. That's true.
It's hard for me to say no. That's what my son tell me all the time. Mama, you got to learn to say no. You don't know how to say no.
Yes. And so why do you think it's so hard for you to say no? Were you, as a child, brought up in a certain way, whereas it was something that suppressed you from being able to, like, say no?
Well, I don't know. I know I grew up in a home where my father, he was not a very nice man. He was a very mean man. He was a man that was very abusive, and I never wanted to be like that. And I guess some of that just some rubbed off. I always said I wasn't gonna let my kids see that, you know, never see that side of life. So I guess I just took it over just to be so kind. I guess I can say it really stemmed from that, from my upbringing, because my father was so cruel, and I always said, if I ever have kids, I will never do this, I will never do that, and I never done it.
Mm-hmm.
You would be the exact opposite.
I would be the exact opposite, and I am.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Well, what about you, Aja? What prevents you from saying no? Then close us out and tell us how you'll pick us back up for Friday on this. This is a great topic. I love this Superwoman talk.
Well, I was abused as a child, in many ways. And when you, I think when you've been abused, you tend to suppress a lot of your emotions. You tend to avoid conflict, you know, because that's what you're raised on, a lot of conflict. So you try to avoid any kind of conflict. So if you say this, then this will avoid the conflict. It will make you feel like worn out later on, but around you, there's no conflict, you know. So you get used to saying yes, even though, you know, it will bring more work on yourself. And then too, you think you're doing something good. These are people who are abused. They feel like they owe society. You know, they feel like they need to help other people, you know. So, that was my reason for being the Miss Yes person. There was a book called Women Who Do Too Much. And, you know, I was one of those.
Women who do too much.
I remember seeing
But I have changed.
Okay. You changed.
I'm starting, and it's difficult, you know, if you're not used to it. I've started to put myself first, you know, like me first. Is this going to hurt me? You know, not necessarily, is this going to benefit me? Because I'm not trying to benefit off anybody. But is this going to hurt me in any way to do this? Am I too tired? You know? So I've started looking at things like this. And really, do I want to do this?
Do I
want to do this?
I'm a person, I don't be want to do it, but I'll do it. Because I can't say no, and knowing half of the time I don't want to do it.
Exactly. And then, you know, after you do it for so many years, it builds up a resentment. And a resentment goes to somewhere, whether it's to yourself inward, your little child, the child within, or outward. And a lot of times it goes within. It's like, I shouldn't have told them. I really don't feel it. Oh, I should have told them no. I don't know why I keep saying yes. That's beating up on yourself.
Yeah, that's me. That's them my exact words, I'll say.
That's being up on yourself.
Delta. I know.
And
I'm the same way. And same thing.
You're being a bully.
Did
you hear me, Delta? Yeah, you're being a bully.
Yeah.
Stop being a bully.
So that's the game changer. One of your game changers, Delta. Learning how
to
say
that.
No. So we will be back on Friday, and I think we should pick right back up there, like learning how to say no and speaking more on this superwoman, because guess what? I am not your superwoman.
Superwoman.
Not me. I may have
not anymore
abilities, but I'm not your superwoman. I don't mean I have to do all of that stuff. Those extremes. So we'll be back on Friday. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Will be beautiful, wonderful, and great. Peace,
it's gonna be bang, 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 bang.
Bang, 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 bang.